We've heard it a few times recently, just how God sows a beautiful message through the service without people knowing what was going on. And for me, what Katie sort of prophesied out earlier was a real confirmation for what I'm bringing you now. It's going to be, I hope, fairly short and sweet. And because we're now past Midsummer's Day, we're now allowed to talk about Christmas. Ian disagrees. And the title of what I'm bringing is Comfort and Joy. And as we illustrated earlier, what was the word that you used for those who came up? Yeah. Heartbroken-hearted. Comfort and joy is what the broken-hearted need. And all through the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, it talks about comfort, it talks about joy for those who don't have it. Because if you've got it, you don't need it. But so many of us need comfort in our lives. So many of us need that joy that Katie was talking about in our lives. And so I'm going to talk about them in the opposite order, just to keep you on your toes. They're going to start with joy. There we go. Many of you will know a passage from Galatians that talks about what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. Those who are Christians receive God's Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works in us, and it brings this fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Does anyone feel like they've got enough of all of those things? So I thought we'd just do a little survey now. Have a look at that list: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I identify the one that you could really do with some more of. So if you could only choose one, what would it be? So I'm going to ask you to be brave and put your hand up for the one that is... Wait, Steve. Pay attention. So if it's love, put your hand up above everything. If it is joy, put your hand up. If it is peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I think some of you voted more than once, but I'll let you go. and that was the way that I, as I was growing up, saw the fruit of the Spirit. It was either as like grapes on a bunch, or it was a tree with lots of different fruit growing on it. Where there's a bit of love, there's a bit of joy, there's a bit of peace and patience and so on. But as I was thinking about this, I had a different picture. Were you in my IT class or science? It was IT, wasn't it? Yeah. So before I taught IT, I did science. And we have a prism. And this again goes back to what Katie prophesied about God's love hitting our lives and then going out. And so the picture I had was that we have the Holy Spirit comes along and impacts our lives. It then comes through us. And then it comes out the other side. And they, as it comes out the other side, that's what everybody else sees. They see God's Holy Spirit through us. And now if we just zoom in on that spectra coming out the other side, we have our love, our joy, our peace, our patience, our kindness, our goodness, our faithfulness, our gentleness, and our self-control. And as a science teacher, I can tell you that although it looks like it doesn't fit, actually it does, because below the purple, we've got the ultraviolet, above the red, we've got the infrared, and so they do tie up perfectly. How convenient. And so it's not a case of I want more peace, I want more Holy Spirit. It's not a case of I want more self-control, although I do. I want more Holy Spirit. It's not a case of I want more joy, although I do. Because as people said, you can't just choose one. God wants to make our lives better. And we are the main culprit in making them worse. And as we let more of God's love in, this is what happens to our lives. And I don't think there is anyone who would not want that lot. These are a couple of the verses that lead up to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's kind of a bit of a tautology. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery. As we leave behind the Holy Spirit, we basically become slaves to our habits, our addictions, our temper, our unforgiveness. We become slaves, and God wants us free from all of that rubbish. A couple of verses further on. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. When I was a kid, I made up this joke. It's one of my better ones. This little boy is walking along the road past the prison, and a prisoner comes out of the gate and says, I'm free! I'm free! And the little boy says, big deal, I'm four. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And it goes on. And this is sort of moving over to the Passion Translation. Many of us who have been in church for a long time are familiar with the NIV, the New International Version. And it kind of can get a bit automatic. But bringing in a fresh translation actually can really bring things alive in sort of technicolor rather than black and white. So this is what is said in the Passion Translation. Let me emphasize this. As you yield your life to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. Basically, in the Bible, in Christian talk, there are two parts of our lives. There's the God bit and the not God bit. And the not God bit has a number of words used to describe it. It can be your self-life. It can be your flesh. It can be the natural realm. It can be your sinful nature. And all of those describe the things that we want to do when we want to do it, not what God wants to do when he wants to make our lives better. So we will abandon those temptations that we get, kind of to do the wrong thing. When your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your self-life from dominating you. And so we've got kind of this seesaw going on. So then, The two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. And our choice is which one do we follow? One of the many pivotal moments in my life was back in 1985 or 6. And I was a naval engineer officer under training. And I went with some friends to a festival, a Christian music festival called Greenbelt. And thank you, Steve. And I got talking to a lady in the group. And the backstory is that I've been brought up to go to church all my life. My dad was a vicar. It was what our family did. We went to church. As I've said before at times, I used to wear my play clothes underneath my Sunday best. So as soon as I got home, it'd be quicker to get out to play. I just have to take off one layer rather than have to take a layer off and put another layer on. It was very logical. And so I then joined the Navy, and in the Navy, especially as an officer under training, you had a lot of money and a lot of cheap booze. And so there was a real temptation, invitation, to drink too much, chase women, use your life in a foolish way. And this lady I met challenged me, and she said exactly what it says here. These two aspects of your life are not compatible. If you want to enjoy the God bit, you've got to follow it wholeheartedly. If you want to enjoy the getting drunk and partying, do that wholeheartedly. But by sort of sitting on the fence, I'm not doing either and struggling. And it was true. There was always this tension within me because the two are incompatible and they were conflicting. And so that night I made the decision, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do the God bit. I'm going to turn my back on the Navy temptations and just go for the God bit. The lady prayed for me, and I felt a surge of power going through my body. At the time, I was sitting cross-legged on the floor, and it's like my body was vibrating. And if you've ever had your body vibrating when your legs are crossed underneath you, it's a very strange feeling. But it was like my heart was turned around. My heart was just touched by God. And from that moment on, I was determined to follow God. And it was from then that I went back to the Navy after the holiday. And I just started to pray regularly in the chapel on site. And it was then, a month or two later, that I just heard God's voice telling me to leave the Navy and get ordained. So I did what the voice said. I did what God's voice said. I left the Navy, applied to the Church of England to get ordained, and they turned me down. And I've had a very long, circuitous journey since. And the beautiful irony is that here I am now in church leadership, even though it wasn't the picture I had back in 1986. And maybe, Julian, that is a word for you. That, you know, what you hear God saying in a certain time isn't necessarily the way that the fulfillment looks. When you yield to the life of the Spirit, you will no longer be living under the law, but soaring above it. I may not read that out loud. I'll give you a moment just to read that, because the people who shouldn't be hearing it won't be reading it. Okay. So the behavior of the self-life is obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessing of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom to just get on and do these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? And we all know what our lives are like. We know what our thought lives are like. We know the bits that we're proud of and the bits we're not so proud of. And that kind of brings me on to a bit about comfort. We've got two sorts of food there. We've got a very nice looking salmon salad, maybe, on a bed of quinoa. Very healthy. you're weeping. And that takes time to prepare. It's good for you. Healthy. Maybe slightly expensive. Or we've got the Big Mac with chips and Coca-Cola, which is quick and easy and isn't quite so good for you. And it's a bit like that with the comfort. And again, one of the things that came to me as I was preparing for this is that there are two sorts of comfort. There's the real comfort, and then there's a false comfort. And one of the things, again, that I've come up with is that you can't self-medicate comfort. You can't comfort yourself. We try to. Let's do this one. Skipping back a bit. All praise belong to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the Father of tender mercy and the God of endless comfort. He always comes alongside us to comfort us in every suffering, so that we may come alongside those who are in any painful trial. We can bring them this same comfort that God has poured out on us. And just as we experience the abundance of Christ's own suffering, even more of God's comfort will cascade upon us through our union with Christ. So God is the source of all comfort. However, we are able to be vendors of it. We are able to pass on God's comfort to those around us if we receive God's comfort first. And we all know people in our lives who have needed extreme comfort at times. And they are the ones who are just such beautiful comforters in their turn. Those who receive comfort can also give comfort. And so, just coming back to my point about self-medicating comfort, if we try to make ourselves comfortable, give ourselves comfort, we choose the wrong things. We choose those false comforts. So whether it is heading to the freezer for a tub of ice cream, hitting the bottle, going shopping, going for that Big Mac, watching telly again and again and again. What's that phrase you call when you binge watch? You know, when you just sit down at the beginning of the afternoon and you just watch 37 episodes back to back. I think we'd all recognise that isn't good. One episode is fine, but or even two, maybe three on a good day. But 37 is far too excessive. And that is a form of self-medication, of comfort. Those are, if you can't see them, they're all like the little logos that are to do with social media. You know, whether it is scrolling through your Facebook, whether it is scrolling through your Instagram feeds. And so often, it's not healthy. We were talking to our son-in-law day before yesterday, and he said there's a phrase for it which I'd never heard before, and that's doom scrolling. It was that, wasn't it, Annie? Doom scrolling, because you're just scrolling through to oblivion, never ending, always hoping that there'll be some juicy little tidbit. Obviously chocolate, gossip, which kind of comes from this, the social media as well, but is also something that we can do amongst ourselves. And it's not talking and sharing things to uplift, but generally speaking, it's gossiping the bad stuff. If we're gossiping the good stuff, that's okay. You know, if you're saying what someone has done well, you know, go for it. But if you're just sharing what someone has done wrong or a mistake they've made, then that's not good. And porn again. It's another of those temptations. It may feel like it makes you feel better, but it doesn't. And there's a St. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, had this phrase that comes through many, many times in his letters. And it's one I think we can all relate to. The good I want to do, I don't do. The bad I don't want to do, I do. And that kind of is a symptom of our human condition. Again, I don't think there's anyone who will honestly say that they don't agree with St. Paul there. So, comfort and joy. We know that we could do with some more joy. We often know that we could do with some more comfort. And I'm just going to finish with some words straight from the heart of the Master, Jesus. Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Jesus says, come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Your pool in the middle of a desert. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, and easy to please. That's a beautiful translation, the Passion again. Easy to please. So many people feel that God is this hard taskmaster sitting on his throne, judging people. But the bottom line is, he's easy to please. He just wants us to come and approach him and say, hi, Jesus, come into my life. Give me some of the good stuff. You will find refreshment and rest in me. But all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. That is not what our culture tells us if you become a Christian. You've got to say goodbye to all the fun stuff and just do a trudge for the rest of your life. But actually, it's the other way around. As we try and wade through the sewerage of our bad decisions, Jesus is just offering to pick us up, wash us off, put us in a solid place, and have a good life. And I would just like to invite you to respond. If you would like joy, or more of the Holy Spirit, if you would like comfort in areas of heartache and pain, if you would like to latch on to the Jesus train and just be pulled out of the sewer and into a beautiful place, any of those, I invite you just to put your hand up and I'll pray. Jesus, thank you that you are a good, 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 good Saviour. That you save us from what we deserve and that you give us what we don't deserve. Thank you that nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is too bad for you. Nothing is too distant for you. You already know us through and through and through. There's nothing that we can tell you that you didn't know anyway. There's nothing that we can tell you that will shock you, because you love us, just like the Father's love letter told us that we heard earlier. You love us, you love us, you love us, you love us, even if we don't believe in you. You love us, you love us, you love us, even if we've turned our back on you too many times. You still love us and wait for us to turn back. So Holy Spirit, come and do what you do best. Pour yourself into our lives. Flow through us and create that beautiful spectrum coming out the other side as we interact with people around us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Come, Holy Spirit, we love you. Amen.